some time for some silent prayer as we prepare our hearts to receive what the Lord has for us today. Let us pray. God, we seek you this morning. And we pray for this idea of being called to duty, what that means in each of our lives, what you're calling us to. God, I pray for an awareness in each of our hearts to know that you call us to different things in different seasons of our lives. What you called us to 15, 20 years ago may be different than what you're calling us to right now. It may be different than what you're going to call us to in the next 10 years. Lord, we pray for an awareness of where you're calling us in this season of our lives and what that calling looks like. God, as we unpack a little bit of Mary Magdalene's life, one of the things that we see that she was called to was being faithful. What does faithfulness look like in our lives as your children? So God, we come to you now just to prepare our hearts, to clear our minds, Lord, to focus on you and what it is that you would say to us this morning. So God, we thank you for meeting us here as we sit in silence in your presence. God, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. And as you are present with us, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would be present with you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Well, I had mentioned earlier we are in this series entitled Called to Duty, and we're going to learn a little bit more about different people in the Bible throughout this series. It's going to be fun. Each week we're going to learn about somebody new. We're going to expand our context of our Bible knowledge here as we get to hear a little bit more of each person's story. Our context for this series is the Bible, but we know that God is writing our story as well, and we know and understand God from the past in his word, but we also know him from now, how he's working in our very lives in the present. And over the next several weeks, again, we're going to meet and get to know the stories of some ordinary, messed up, and average people that God has called to duty in his name. When God gave us this series, Called to Duty, I immediately decided to highlight some women over this next 6 weeks, which I'm excited about, so hopefully you are as well. And we're going to explore the lives of some women that were fat, right? So before we get in all judgmental that Julie's like, oh my gosh, we're going to explore the lives of women that were fat, let me just back up the bus with what I mean by that. They were faithful, available, and they were teachable. Those are the type of people that God looks for, people that are faithful, available, and teachable. You know, we've got some folks that have been given some amazing gifts and some amazing skills. There's some of us here that we run our own company. Some of us are engineers, maybe nurses or doctors. They have the patience to parent, to raise grandchildren, have the heart of a teacher, maybe care for the elderly. And God has given each one of us very unique gifts and skills and abilities to do the things that we do, right? And they're important. But God wants us to be faithful, available, and teachable as well. Today we're going to explore what it looks like to be called to be faithful through the life of Mary Magdalene. And I just want to share a little bit about Mary. Some of you may be familiar with this. Her last name is, she goes by Mary Magdalene, and Magdalene comes from the name of the town where she lived. So she was from Magdala. So she's Mary Magdalene because she was from Magdala. And she was an early follower of Jesus throughout his ministry, and in fact, her name is mentioned more times than most of the disciples in the Gospels. So she is very prominent throughout Jesus' ministry. She was obedient, And she also grew in understanding, and she was a faithful follower of Jesus even up until his death. And we're going to unpack some of these key scriptures this morning that take a closer look at Mary. And first, can I just say that Mary is a popular name in the Bible, right? It's like, which Mary are we talking about? And I can't help but wonder, back in the day, right, in the ancient day, that if you forgot some woman's name and you called her Mary, you had a 50-50 shot that it was right. A lot of Marys in the Bible. We're going to start this morning with the crucifixion, right? In the day that Jesus was crucified, and that day had come, and it was a horrible day. The sorrow and the pain were absolutely unbearable. Not only was the sky dark, but the hearts were dark of the people as well, and they were weighed down with grief. And a lot of the disciples, they had left. They didn't want to stick around for the crucifixion. But Scripture tells us that there was a faithful group of women that stayed there, that were there for the crucifixion. Hear these words out of Matthew 27. Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, or Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. It was in her faithfulness that Mary was called to care. And she was there for Jesus in life and in death. And they followed Jesus to care for his needs. And she was there for Jesus and also to comfort his mother. Comfort his mother. And she was there to care for Jesus as he died on that cross. To be the one to close his eyes. Many of us are familiar or have had this privilege of being with someone when they die. When they pass from this life to the next. It's an honor to sit with a friend, to listen, to be there as they grieve, to care for a family who is in crisis. And then for some of us, we know what it's like to be on that other end. We know what it's like to be on the receiving end, to have folks pray for us, to show up with meals, to comfort us in our times of loss, someone to help carry the weight of a stone, of a tomb in our lives. Mary was there for Jesus' mother, but she was also grieving herself. Had a terrible sense of loss. For many of us, we wake up in the mornings knowing how our days will go, depending upon what's on our calendar. And in her faithfulness, Mary visited the tomb the very next morning. And she didn't wake up that Sunday morning expecting for Jesus to be alive. What a surprise. She was not expecting Jesus to be alive when she visited that tomb. You see, that stone was placed over Jesus' tomb. And I would suggest that it was a boulder that was placed over that tomb. It took engineering minds to place that boulder over the tomb entrance, and it was not going anywhere. Oh, what a feeling that had to have been when Mary got to the tomb that morning and the stone had been rolled away. What a feeling. I want to share a little bit of John 20 with you. Hear these words. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one who Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." You see, Peter and the other disciple, they had ran to the tomb, but then they had left, right? They saw that it was empty, and they went back to where they were staying. But Mary, she stayed in her faithfulness. Hear the rest of the story. We pick up in verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. And Jesus asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus responds, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Interesting phrase that Jesus uses, this imagery. Jesus says, "Don't hold on to me." You can just see Mary holding on to Jesus as she realizes that it's him. You see, Mary only knew what she knew. She didn't know what was coming, and she wanted to hold on to the Jesus that she knew. There are things in our lives that we want to hold on to. There are certain parts that we want to hold on to in our lives because we're afraid of what the future might be. We want to hold on to what we know. She wanted to hold on to the Jesus that she knew. What are you holding on to that you need to let go of to trust God? What are you holding on to that you need to let go of to trust God? See, in that moment of the resurrection, Mary turned from being a mourner to a missionary when she encountered the living Lord. Called to duty, her life was changed. It's hard to be faithful sometimes, isn't it? I would ask that you would join me in asking God to help us stand by him. To serve him, no matter what life brings, or how hopeless we feel, allow the resurrection to stir a fresh excitement in our hearts. May we embrace the words of the Apostle Paul. He's got some great words of encouragement that are found in Ephesians. Words that encourage us when we start our days. And we think of Mary, when the unexpected happens, right? When the unexpected happens, God shows up. I want you to hear these words, and I want them just to wash over your soul as I read these to you. Ephesians 3, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in each of us." Mary was faithful, she was obedient, she was caring, and she got to hang out with Jesus and his disciples. Mary's involvement in ministry of Jesus demonstrated the value that Jesus had for women and women in ministry. Mary experienced the mighty hand of God doing more than she could ever ask or imagine. She witnessed it on Easter morning. Like most faithful people, we have a story. And what's beautiful is that it's our story, no one else's. We claim the good and the bad, the happy and the sad, because they're our stories. They make us who we are as people, and who we are in Christ. God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or we were first introduced to Mary Magdalene early in the Gospels. And many of us can relate to this human side of Mary. The story where she's introduced, a lot of this has been, I don't want to say glossed over, but when we think of Mary, we think of the tomb and how Jesus appeared to her. Hear this story in Luke 8:1. After this, Jesus traveled about from town, from one town to another, and a village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Oh, by the way, the faithful woman in Jesus' ministry, Mary, who was a devoted follower of Jesus' wherever she went, who cared for him, even at his death, and who was the first person that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection, was filled with demons before she met Jesus and before he healed her. He cast out seven demons from her. When I think of the word demon, I think of horror movies, you know. You guys all think about those horror movies and how evil spirits are cast out. It's usually not very pleasant. And as I've researched in different commentaries to talk about what these commentators talk about, what the possible demons were that filled Mary, some of them suggest that there were demons that included wicked desires, bad dispositions, and even bad tempers. I found this to be a little convicting, a little freeing at the same time. Some of this hits a little close to home for some of us. You see, Jesus, he sees us in our human condition. He sees us flawed, vulnerable, and messed up at times, in need of his grace and his healing. See, just as Jesus embraced Mary and he healed her, gave her hope in a future, he comes to us today and offers the same to us. Friends, what's your response? What is your response? Mary responded in faithfulness. Mary stepped up as she was called to duty, to do what needed to be done, like many you. Service that was prompted by duty. For some of us, we are called to love, expecting nothing in return. There are times when we give money and no one says thank you. Times where we forgive others, but they won't forgive us. We come early at times or stay late when no one else notices. You see, Mary thought her journey was unnoticed. And you might think that your journey goes unnoticed as well. But God sees you, God knows you, and God the Father is watching you. We all have a story. It makes us who we are, and Mary's story has its challenges. Her story had its challenges, like our stories have challenges. How do you relate to her story, to her life, to her ministry? Some words of encouragement for you this morning. If your road is long, don't stop. If the path gets bumpy, hold on tight. If you feel lost, seek God for direction. The Father is with you. There are times where we get discouraged and we have voices in our heads that like to mess with us. Sometimes we grieve, we have disappointments or frustrations. And just as a boulder sealed off Jesus' tomb and his followers thought that all hope was lost, a miracle happened. And God moved that boulder and the stone was rolled. Some of us here today are experiencing a heavy weight or a big boulder or a stone in our life. But take hope. Just as God rolled away the stone at the tomb, God might be telling an angel to move a stone or a giant boulder in your life, to never give up hope. The Father is watching you. The Father loves you. And the Father calls you to be faithful. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. John 15, 16 tells us, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Jesus tells you this morning, you did not choose me, but I chose you. In the military, dog tags symbolize identity. It's how others know who the soldier is. As followers of Christ, our identity is in him. And our dog tags are a reminder that he chooses each and every one of us. He chooses you. And you have been chosen, you have been appointed and called to be faithful and to bear fruit. At the conclusion of this service, I would invite you to come forward. We have dog tags up front. We've also got some in the back if you want to get them on your way out the door. Maybe take one to someone that didn't make it to church today or somebody that you think could use that word of encouragement to know that God loves them, that God chooses them. We have the privilege of partaking in Holy Communion this morning. And this is a reminder for us when we partake in this meal of what God does for us and what God does in us. The night that Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples, he took bread and he broke it and he gave thanks and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, "This is my blood shed for you, a sign of the new covenant, for the forgiveness of your sins and the sins of many. Take and drink in remembrance of me." In the United Methodist Church, communion is an open table. All are welcome to come and partake at this feast. This morning, we're going to be taking communion by intinction, which means we're going to take a piece of the bread and we're going to dip it into the cup. I'd like to lead us into a time of prayer, and as I do that, I'd like to invite the band to come forward, the team to come up. Those that are serving communion, if you could come forward as well. And I will lead us into a time of prayer as they prepare for us to receive. Won't you join me? God, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for this meal, for meeting us at the table. Lord, pour down your Holy Spirit upon the elements of the bread and the cup, that they would be for us your body and your blood. And Lord, that we would be changed, that we would be transformed from this meal. God, a reminder of what you do for us, and what you do in us. We thank you for this time of remembrance, of renewal, Lord. God, we come before you, and we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples. Won't you join me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.